Now let's continue on, and before we get to Galatians, let's come to Romans, the 9th chapter. Romans 9 and verse 4, or actually Romans 10 and verse 4, then we'll go back to Romans 9. Romans 10 and verse 4. This is one that the Christians of this world use over and over again because it says, "For Christ is the end of the law." That's what it says. However, the Greek translation, "For Christ is the end of law." Now, what does that mean? Let's go back to chapter 9, verse 30. Huh? Yeah, that's what it means.
Yeah.
We'll get to the meaning of it. Okay. Let's come back here to verse 30, chapter 9. "What then shall we say that the Gentiles who did not follow after righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness that is by faith?" Now this righteousness is right standing with God through repentance and baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay? "But Israel," that includes the Jews, "although they followed," now read carefully, "after a law of righteousness." Now, I imagine the King James says the law of righteousness, does it not? That's incorrect. There is no definite article in the Greek. And this is where the King James Version messes people up all the time. They insert the definite article when it is not there. Now, if you insert any word that is not in the Greek, it must be in italics. That way the reader knows that it's not in the original, and we will see that is also proper for clarification, which we'll find is the meaning of Romans 10 and verse 4. Okay, now notice verse 32. "Why," that is, "why did they not attain to a law of righteousness? Because they did not seek it by faith, but by," and the King James says, "the works of the law," correct? But that's not true. The Greek is "by works of law." Okay? That's very important because that means the traditional laws of Judaism, by works of law. "For they stumbled at the stone of stumbling, exactly as it is written, 'Behold, I place in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, but everyone who believes in him shall not be ashamed.' Brethren," chapter 10 and verse 1, "the earnest desire of my heart and my supplication to God for Israel is salvation. For I testify of them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." That is, not according to the knowledge of God, but according to their own traditions. Now notice, "For they being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, and seeking to establish their own righteousness," and that's through their works. Now this is their oral law, okay? "Have not attained to the righteousness of God." See? Now what happens with the oral law? What did Jesus say? Here, Mark 7, we'll turn there. Okay, because this will help us to understand what Jesus is talking about, or Paul talking about with Jesus and justification and so forth. So let's pick it up here in verse 6 of Mark 7. "And he answered and said to them," that is to the scribes and Pharisees, when he said, "Why don't your disciples wash their hands before eating? Well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. So if you have an oral tradition and claim this is as good as God's, you're trying to establish a righteousness that is equal to God, and you can't do that. Nothing that a man can do be equal to what God has said we are to do. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For leaving the commandment of God, you hold fast the tradition of men. And isn't that the way that it is? Now, what does that do for the Jews even to this day? Okay? Now, you listen carefully to how they explain everything. And you can start with the Holocaust. You can start with the destruction of the temple in 70 A.D. You can start with the Roman invasion leading up to that, and later in 135 A.D. Why did all of these things come upon them? Why did it come from God? Yes, you're right, it came from God. Why did it come? Remember the parable of the wedding feast. Okay? The word went out, everything is ready, send out the messengers, bring those, invite them, and come. And one had this to do, another had that to do, and didn't come. Send out and get more, that they come to the wedding feast. And those who were invited did not come. So finally, the result of it was that those who did not come, God was going to destroy their city. See? So in that parable, it was a prophecy of the coming destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Now, how often do you hear the Jews say, we've been scattered abroad in the world because of our sins? Never. It's always the enemy coming to get us. Well, why is the enemy coming to get you? Because of their traditions. Now, what's one of the worst sins that anybody can do, Jew or Gentile? Reject Christ. So it's the same way today. They're going to fight off all their enemies. They're going to build their temple, and it's going to bring the world peace. No, it's going to bring the worst catastrophe in the world. See? For leaving the commandment of God, you hold fast the tradition of men. That's the righteousness of works that's talked about in Romans 9. Okay? Verse 9 here in Mark 7. And he said to them, full well do you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, see, so they're rejecting Moses while claiming Moses. What's a counterpart of that today? Catholicism and Christianity claiming Christ, but are rejecting Christ. Exactly the same thing. See? And it begins with Sunday keeping, which is what? A Roman institution. And Cardinal Gibbon wrote about that in his diatribe against the Protestants. So Moses said, honor your father and mother, and the one who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, whatever benefit you might receive from me is Corban. In other words, I'm not going to take care of you, but I'm going to dedicate it to the temple because I'll get a blessing from dedicating it to the temple. Yes, and all the rabbis will say, well, look, that was a wonderful gift that you gave. That is, set aside as a gift for God. He is not obligated to help his parents. So isn't that the way that the traditions of the Jews are? Have you ever read what the Jew is supposed to do in the morning when he gets up? When he gets up, he is immediately to wash his hands. He is to take and hold the pitcher of water in his left hand and pour it on his right and alternate it three times. And he must do this before he even goes to where he needs to go when he gets up in the morning. And I'm going to have to do it. I've said for years I'm going to have to do it, but I'm going to have to get the Code of Jewish Law and read some of those. But if you've had, if you have the book Scripturalism or Judaism, yes, Judaism, a religion, yeah, Revelation of Moses or Religion of Men, that's it. I have a whole bunch of them listed there. There are many such things. They have it that you have prayers, special prayers when you see something. If you see a midget, you're supposed to say a prayer. If you see a giant, you're supposed to say another prayer. If you see a giraffe, you're supposed to say another prayer. Everything like that. They also have this, that they have two sets of plates because they are not to mix meat and milk products together. Okay? So, they have a set of dishes that they eat things that have meat and a set of dishes for the things that have milk. Now, they also have a law that if they have a Gentile as a servant and a Gentile works in the kitchen, that if a Jew watches the Gentile make the bread, because, see, Gentile hands are supposed to be, ooh, so unclean, then it's permissible to eat as common food. But it cannot be used for making unleavened bread for Pascha. See? It's unclean. Now, if a Jew is not there to supervise it, the bread is unclean. Well, that's not a law of God. And like Christ said, they have many such things to do. That is a law of righteousness that's contrary to the laws of God. Now, let's come back here to Romans 10 again. Okay? Romans 10 and verse 3. And remember, every time one of these laws was kept, that was what? A work of law. Okay? And they have many works of law. Okay? And they, that is the Jews, being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Okay? For Christ, now here's the proper translation. For Christ is the end of works of law for righteousness, not the end of all law forever. See? How do we know that that is not true? What does it say in Hebrews 10:16? I will write my laws in their hearts and inscribe them in their minds. Okay? Now, is that doing away with law? No. That's making it permanently inscribed in your mind, so that's how you automatically live your life. See? Not an exterior law of righteousness. See? Christ ends all of that. Jewish, Catholic, Protestant, Buddhism, Mohammedism, Hinduism, they all have their works of law. He's the end of that. To everyone who believes. For Moses wrote concerning the righteousness that comes through the law, that the man who practices those things shall live by them. That's the letter of the law. That's what they should have done. But they weren't following Moses, see. But the righteousness that comes through faith speaks of this manner. Okay, do not say in your heart, who shall ascend up to heaven? And he brings out about believing and faith after that. Okay? Now, with that said, let's come to Galatians. Galatians, the second chapter. Okay? Now, as we turn there, I mentioned this last time concerning Peter going to Cornelius' house. And when he first met Cornelius, he said, "You know, it is an unlawful thing for a man who is a Jew, to keep company with a Gentile." They could not even go in. "But God has shown to me that I should call no man common or unclean." Now think about this. None of the Italians were circumcised. And God sent Peter there because he wanted him to understand that he was calling Gentiles and going to give the Holy Spirit to them without circumcision of the flesh. Okay? Now, this was a revolutionary thing. So Peter, having done this, he knew exactly what God wanted. Now, when we come to Acts, the 15th chapter, in the conference we had that they had there, Peter said, "You know that God at first had me go to the Gentiles," and that was to Cornelius. Okay? Now then, look what happens when different ones come. Now look what happens because Peter had a streak of politics in him. Okay? Galatians 2 and verse 12. "For before certain came from James," now James was the brother of the Lord, and he was in charge of things up there at Jerusalem. Now, as long as the temple was standing, it was perfectly all right to pay a vow or to make a vow as long as it was standing. But they were telling those in Jerusalem that Paul out here with the Gentiles is saying, "Don't circumcise your children, don't do any of these things," okay? But that's not what was happening. So Peter came, okay? "I withstood him to the face because he was to be condemned." Now let's understand something. How important is truth and doctrine? Very important. I had a man tell me, "Take me off your list because I don't like the way you bash those other ministers of God with their different doctrines." Well, what did Paul do to Peter and preserve it in the Bible? How important is doctrine? Very important. Okay? Verse 12, "For before certain came from James, he was eating with the Greek or Gentiles. However, when they came, he drew back, separated himself from the Gentiles, being afraid of the circumcision party." Didn't want James to get a bad report. "And the rest of the Jews joined him in the hypocritical act, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy publicly. But when I saw that they did not walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in the presence of them all, 'If you, being a Jew, are living like the Gentiles, that is, eating freely with the Gentiles, mingling among them without any traditional laws to separate yourself, and not according to Judaism,'" and that's what Judaism is, "'why do you compel the Gentiles to Judaize?'" In other words, make them separate from the rest of the Jews. "We are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of law." Now the King James has "the works of the law." Fault. Is there a work of the law of God that says you shall not eat with a Gentile? No, that's a work of law of Judaism. And they were seeking their own righteousness through it. See, the separation was hard. The separation was difficult. Okay? So when I saw they did not walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in the presence of them all, of you being a Jew, are living like the Gentiles, not according to Judaism. Why do you compel the Gentiles to Judaize? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of law, but through the faith of Jesus Christ. See? Your standing is the standing with God in heaven above through Christ, not your standing among groups of people that you go by their traditions, which are contrary to the Word of God, and think you're doing well in the name of Christ. Never work. What's one of the biggest ones they have today? Not the Jews, but Christianity. Sunday, and what else? Christmas. And they have great hymns, great services. Same thing as this. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of law, but by through the faith of Jesus Christ. We who have believed in Christ Jesus, in order that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, that is with God the Father in heaven above, and not by works of law to men, to impress men, okay? Because by works of law shall no flesh be justified to God. See? That's the whole meaning of it here. See? Now then, if we are seeking to be justified in Christ, and we ourselves are found to be sinners, which Peter was in doing what he did, is Christ then the minister of sin? May it never be. Because Christ never recognized that. That's the important thing to understand. Okay? For if I build again, now here he's speaking of his experience in Judaism. For if I build again those things that I destroyed, I'm making myself a transgressor. Because works of law of men end up transgressing the laws of God and making you a sinner before God. So he says, verse 19, I through law died do works of law in order that I may live to God. Now, how do you live to God? By loving him, by obeying him, by keeping his commandments, by trusting in his mercy and forgiveness, by having your sins forgiven when you repent, etc. I have been crucified with Christ. See? Why does he say that? Romans 6, you are co-crucified with Christ. He wasn't on the same cross with Christ, not literally, but when you're baptized, you're conjoined to his death. So you are crucified with Christ. Yet I live, indeed, it is no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Okay? That's what is to lead us and guide us. For the life that I am now living in the flesh, I live by faith, that very faith of the Son of God, okay, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now then, notice what happens when it gets into human traditions versus God. Verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness is through works of law, then Christ died in vain. Okay? Good comment. Comment was made that if you do by works of law, then you're breaking loving your neighbor as yourself and loving the brethren as Christ has loved us. See? And that's actually happened in the Church of God. As I mentioned last time, there are ministers who would set themselves up, separate from the brethren, Tell the deacons at the potlucks, go bring us the best food. You know, I was even invited to go up on the stage, and I refused. And I was a bad, bad boy. I got a bad report for that, because they were those who had their works of law. Okay? What was one of the works of law? The ministers are above the people. No. The ministers are below the people to serve the people. Yes, they would have the deacons go down and get the best of everything and bring it up to the elders up on this table. Oh, yeah. Parking, so forth. See? Yes, now, good comment was made. It's the same way with some churches of God. They say that if your family is not in a church, you cannot associate with them, you cannot talk to them, you cannot go see them. That's exactly the condemnation of the works of law that Paul is talking about right here. See? Of course you should see them. Of course you should help them. And in that church, I know of 3 suicides because those who were so emotionally distraught that they couldn't see their fathers or mothers or grandfathers and grandmothers, that they killed themselves. Now that blood lies right at the feet of the minister. One point. That church is called the Philadelphia Church of God. And they are the exact opposite of brotherly love. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and end it here for today. And when we get into chapter 3, we're going to find a very interesting translation that proves they were writing the New Testament early. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.